I could always be the culprit for that. Would you like me to go out and get the woman who accompanied you? Mr. M.E. Guy asked. No, was her hurried reply. The last person she wanted with her right now was Granny. Or Frito, Granny's moody French bulldog, whom she never traveled without. Vanna cleared her throat. The M.E. wanted her to confirm that this was Caleb, so they could get on with whatever the next steps were. Vanna wasn't too sure what that involved, because while she worked as an office manager in a law firm now, and had been in the legal field for over a decade, her expertise regarding the handling of dead bodies stretched toward the medical malpractice realm, not homicide or anything else criminal. She could do this. She nodded in agreement with herself. She could look at him one more time just to be sure. But her throat had already started to tighten, her rapid heartbeats giving the tears she'd sworn on the ride over that she wouldn't shed permission to at least form in her eyes. I'm okay, she told the M.E., more so trying to convince herself and continue to stare down at the man she'd once loved. From the time she'd received the call to the moment she'd sent the text to let her boss know she would be in late, and even when her car hadn't started and she'd had to call Granny for a ride, Vanna hadn't felt sad, glad, or even angry over the news that Caleb might be dead. But the second she'd walked through the doors of this building, an uneasiness settled over her. Yet she'd marched into this room, fake bravado and action, and stepped up to this table like what, or rather who, lay on it, didn't faze her. But it did. Her breath hitched, and she suddenly clapped her hand over her mouth. Those tears threatened to fall, and her knees said to hell with the previous warnings. They began to shake. This was indeed the once handsome face she'd loved to stare at. One of his eyes was blackened and even puffier than his other features. They'd found him in the Potomac River, in an area of National Harbor where the Maryland state line met Washington, D.C. So she presumed that was why he appeared to be bloated. She shook her head, a motion that seemed to trigger the rest of her body to begin quaking as well. This wasn't the Caleb she knew, and yet it was definitely Caleb. She had no idea how or from where she summoned the strength, but she took a step forward, and then another, until she was standing right next to the table. The hand clamped to the strap of the purse on her shoulder moved, shook, and slightly touched the sheet where it rested just beneath his chin. Caleb, she whispered again. Then, as if a partition had been dropped down on her emotions, she sucked in a breath and squared her shoulders. This, she said, and swallowed deeply. This is Caleb. Pulling her hand from the sheet, she took a step back. Her gaze lifted, and she repeated, "This is Caleb Carlson."
Well, you've done your part, right? You made the ID like they asked, Granny said, as Vanna sat quietly in the back seat of her grandmother's 20-year-old Buick. Frito danced around in the front passenger seat, as if the ridiculous dog needed to remind her that that was his spot. Never, not in the last 7 or 8 years since Granny had bought that fawn-colored pooch home from some breeder she claimed to have met in the parking lot at Target, had Granny allowed anyone in that front passenger seat, other than that dog. Maybelline Jackson, with her roller set, fluffy gray curls, and lean caramel brown face, turned to give Vanna a quick but serious glare. She'd raised Vanna, had taken her in to live with her when Vanna was just 7 years old, and Diane, Maybelline's only child, had left her only child at a bus station. She knew Vanna better than anyone in this world, loved her better than the whole world did, too. Yes, ma'am,